Welcome to January the 17th. We have nine games to cover. We have an update on Joel Embiid. Not a surprising one, but an update nonetheless. Nothing on Jimmy Butler to this point. Let's have a look at everything. This is the Friday pregame show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. Don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. Please go and download as many episodes as you want, as many times as you like. Thumbs up, subscribe, everything. We are also part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Nine games. Didn't wake up to any Jimmy Butler news. I thought I would, but I guess he's going to play at this point. Things could change, but it's going to be interesting. Did get an update on Joel Embiid. He is going to be reevaluated in 7 to 10 days, experienced some swelling in his knee. I don't know. We said not to draft him. I penciled him in for 50, maximum of about 50 games this year. How many has he played? Not many. Let me have a look, actually. Where are we? I think I'm going to overshoot it, which I'm fine with. Let's have a look. How many games has Joel Embiid played? Is it double digits? It might be. Where are we? We're scrolling down. All right, 13 games he has played. And what do we have left? Are we halfway through the season? We might be. Sorry, this is a little bit off topic, isn't it? Philadelphia. Have played 39 games. So that means they have 53 left? No, 40. 43 left. 43 left. And he's played 13. So he's not going to play the next, 3 to 4? So that leaves 40. And he's played 13. So 53, best case scenario. 53 games, and we're not getting to that. So, yep, pretty glad I didn't draft him. Let's get into the games. First game, Orlando at Boston. Orlando, no new injuries. Gogi Badadze is out with the concussion. Still no word on whether the hip is going to sort of linger here or whether it's just a matter of him passing the concussion protocols. Look, nine games, it's a streamable day, but probably not. You're probably not looking for more than about one streamer on your roster. Cole Anthony, if he's available, might fit that bill. Tristan Da Silva, he's probably not. I'd rather Cole Anthony. Yeah, I might even rather Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, to be fair. Wendell Carter should continue to start, should be added until Goga is back. Jonathan Isaac, I'm holding him in one or two leagues, I think, hoping he can push back up over 20 minutes tonight, but we will see. For the Celtics, they just really want to get back on track. Sam Hauser, Al Horford, I guess you could stream them in, but I think they'll just come out with something to prove here. And hopefully for Celtics fans and for the Celtics, they can get back on track and win some games. Minnesota at New York. Minnesota also no new injuries. Well, nothing new overnight. Dante DiVincenzo is out with a toe sprain. I would assume Mike Conley will move into the starting lineup, but honestly, the way he's been playing, I'd rather look at Nickeil Alexander-Walker. he could come off the bench but could play 30 minutes. Here, Rob Dillingham probably gets back into the rotation, but again, I would rather Nikhil Alexander-Walker. For the Knicks, Towns is questionable with his thumb sprain slash bone chip, whatever. What are we calling it? I suppose we're calling it a thumb sprain. Yes, we are calling it a thumb sprain. If he is out, Precious Achiuwa. If he plays, no one. Pretty simple. We know the drill in New York. The next game, sorry, I'm going to rush through these two because I have trade talk coming up in about half an hour. Toronto at Milwaukee. Toronto still without Emmanuel Quickley. Ochai Agbaji questionable as well. So Grady Dick, hold him. I think I'm holding him in two leagues. One of those is a 16-team league at least. I'll see what he does. If someone better on the waiver wire jumps out at me, I'll probably grab them. But at this point, that hasn't happened in those leagues. So hold him. Davion Mitchell, I'm not interested in him. If Agbaji doesn't play, look, maybe we get a little bit more of Chris Boucher. But again, nine games, no thanks. For the Bucks, Giannis will play. Middleton will play. Gary Trent will play. No Andre Jackson. I mean, that impacts the starting lineup, but doesn't really impact us from a fantasy perspective. AJ Green could start. Pat Connaughton. It's probably not Pat Connaughton. So it probably is AJ Green that starts here. If you need some threes against Toronto, maybe he can get some good looks running with the likes of Lillard, Giannis, Brook Lopez. So maybe if you're desperate for threes, have a look at there. Denver at Miami. For the Nuggets, Jokic is questionable with his elbow issue. Aaron Gordon also questionable with calf management. Again, if you're healthy, you shouldn't be managing an injury this long, but welcome to the NBA. If Jokic is out, who are they against? Against Miami. It's probably DeAndre Jordan. He's not a great matchup for Bam Adebayo. Well, for the Nuggets against Bam Adebayo. But neither is Dario Saric, to be honest. So, yeah, look, it's probably DeAndre Jordan, unless they just went really small. They could play Peyton Watson at center. But we need to know what's happening with Jokic here. Aaron Gordon, if he's out, Peyton Watson, Julian Strouth play a little bit more. Watson is sort of a soft hold anyway because of Gordon's minutes restriction. And Christian Brown, he's a little bit like Grady Dick. I think he's sort of a soft hold in deeper leagues, standard leagues. You can probably move on. For the Heat, it's all about whether Jimmy Butler plays. If he plays, Jovic, Harkes, Highsmith, Rozier, all of those guys who do have streaming potential are probably dropped. I'd probably hold Jovic, maybe Harkes. Maybe Butler plays but then doesn't play again or something. So I would, if you could, just hold them probably for a game or two until we maybe get some clarity on what they're going to do moving forward. Utah at New Orleans. God, here we go. We know all the crap that's going on in Utah with the fake injuries and rest and no punishments and everything. So Colin Sexton returns. Look, I think with so many absences, the fact that Collier, George and Sexton are playing together, I think we can probably still roster all three because they can play smaller lineups a little bit. The Pelicans are without Eve Misi tonight, so they will also go small, I would think, at times. So I think we still get enough of Isaiah Collier to hold him tonight. Same for Sexton, same for George. Filipowski will play more. He has to. So you could look at him. You could look at Bryce Sensabaugh if he was dropped. Eubanks, maybe. Eubanks has popped off occasionally, but I'd rather those other guys over Eubanks. For the Pelicans, Zion returns. As I said, Eve Misi is out, so Daniel Tice will probably start at center, but look, they will probably just shuffle things up, run some Javonte Green at the 3/4, move Zion to center. Trey Murphy can play a little bit of center if they need to. So it's probably Javonte Green is the one I'm looking at here. And if you're desperate, Daniel Tice, just because he probably plays 22, 24 minutes as the fill-in center. Charlotte at Chicago, Mark Williams is probable with knee soreness. Now, fingers crossed this is nothing significant, nothing serious. No word that it is, but just keep an eye on it, as we know with Charlotte. Brandon Miller is questionable. If he is out, Cody Martin would likely come into the starting lineup. Josh Okogie is available to play tonight, so let's have a look at what his role is. Looks like he can play that Josh Green role if they wanted to go down that path. I don't think they will. And I'm not adding Okogie. But if, I don't know, if I mean, he'd have to play 25 minutes, I think, to have any shot at standard league value. I just don't think that they're invested in him enough. Musa Diabate is questionable. He's going to be the backup center now with no Nick Richards, but more of a stash. But that's, again, that's relying on an injury to Mark Williams. For the Bulls, Josh Giddey, Kobe White, Ayo Dosunmu, all probable. Lonzo Ball will play. So if they all play, we get a good look tonight at what Lonzo and Ayo's roles look like. I'm holding both at this stage. If it's a minute split, I would go with Lonzo. I think he can have value in 22, 23 minutes. Dosunmu needs closer to 30, as we've seen, I think, to have value. And we just hold the other guys. And Horton Tucker is questionable, if anyone cares. OKC at Dallas. OKC coming off that very impressive win last night. Talked about the fact that Jalen Williams, it wasn't a good matchup for him last night. I mean, it is a risk in any game that that if they're dictating, they could go very small. Dallas are not overly big with Derek Lively out. But I'm happy to roll Jalen Williams out there again tonight, Jay Will. Likewise, Kayson Wallace and Lou Dort, who was good yesterday. Caruso is playing. Well, he's not on the injury report, so that's good. If you streamed him in for steals last night, stream him in again. For the Mavericks, Kyrie Irving, questionable. We know we've had a good enough sample size of what this rotation looks like in the backcourt. If Kyrie is in, we probably still roll with Dinwiddie and Grimes. Marshall would be a hold here no matter what happens with Kyrie. If Kyrie is out, we get more of Dinwiddie, more of Grimes, and more of Jaden Hardy, but he would be third on my list. Gafford will, you know, obviously it's a massive bump with Lively out. And then Kleber probably pays a bit more, but I'm not super interested in him. Memphis. Oh, what's going on here with my screen? I hate when it does this. Puts that stupid thing up there. Why is it doing that? Sorry, I'm just going to refresh. There we go. Where were we up to? Memphis at San Antonio. Ja Morant questionable again. Just can't get healthy, this guy. Hopefully he plays, but we certainly know that he might not. If he doesn't play, Scottie Pippen, go and find him, go and add him. Outside of that, they're relatively healthy as far as Memphis goes. Luke Kennard has been playing 20-plus minutes. Santi Aldama, both of those guys, I think, can be streamed tonight. Scottie Pippen, if Morant is out. Jalen Wells, I'd rather Aldama and Kennard, to be honest. And then the center rotation. Look, I'm going to roll Edie out there again tonight, but that's really just out of necessity. I don't think he needs to be rostered. For the Spurs, Sochan is out again with a back injury. It does sound like he's trending in the right direction, so could return in the next game or two. They're just being cautious here. So Steph Castle will likely start against this team. That makes sense. He has been playing reasonably well, so I would look at streaming him in. Yawning already. It's going to be a long morning. Keldon Johnson, Julian Champagne, if you need some points, as we know. And the final game, Brooklyn at Los Angeles, another team with plenty of injury stuff going on, or whatever we're calling it. Ben Simmons available to play. Cam Johnson is questionable. So Simmons, we're holding him. Keon Johnson, Noah Clowney. They're the guys I think we're holding here, along with D'Angelo Russell, of course. Probably Zaire Williams. I think he's arguably been the most impressive, but the minutes just don't seem to be as locked in for him for whatever reason. And Claxton, we're holding, at least for now. I've talked about Dayron Sharp. I still like him as a stash. Iboma, not really. We're sort of saying that they're healthy tonight, which is, that sounds wrong to say for Brooklyn, but that probably means that Iboma won't play a lot. Same goes for Tyrese Martin, but who knows? Who knows? It's very hard to predict this rotation. For the Lakers, Giannis, AD, LeBron, both probable. If they're available, which we are assuming they will be, we don't really have a lot of interest in Rui. I think he's coming off a good game, though. So maybe we get a week of value here. Gabe Vincent, Dalton Connect, none of those guys. Max Christie remains a hold. All right, some quick questions. We've got about 15 minutes. I'm just talking with Dan Bespris as well about the show. All right, tough one. Here is a tough one. Joseph Kim, Draymond or Ayton? Ooh. I might go Draymond there. I know he's injured at the moment, but maybe I do go Ayton. I don't know. He's neither an option. Draymond's role feels a little safer at this point. But Ayton, with the injuries, he's just going to have to play, isn't he? I don't know. I'm going to go Draymond. I just can't go Ayton. What time is the trade show? Look, it will be in about 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Maybe even 10. If I get out of here, then I might bump it up and just start it at 4 p.m. Because I know Raf has to be out by about, 4 p.m., 3 p.m., sorry. It'll start at 3 p.m. I know Raf has to be out by about 3:45. Tim, I will talk about that very quickly. There's not many questions, so I can spend 2 minutes talking on that. Who do I drop to activate Jokic? Onyeka Kongwu, Richards, Middleton, or Sexton? Probably Middleton, I think. Richards, we just don't know. Like, it could be Richards, but I'd like to hold him if you've picked him up, just to see what he does. Kongwu is starting to look better. Again, could turn into nothing. Sexton has been playing relatively well. So in terms of their immediate per game upside, it's probably Middleton. Although his role is somewhat safe. It's just not very exciting. Yeah, Chad, we want it to be Sexton. Look, he did miss the last game, I think, I don't know what it was due to, but obviously they were just resting him. So yes, look, it could be Sexton. If you wanted to move on, it might hurt in the short term, but I feel like he has to be moved before the trade deadline. Would I activate Drummond tonight, or do I think he misses one more? Look, you could. I mean, I think we'd wait. They play early, don't they? Oh, hang on. You guys don't need to see me scrolling as I look at teams. They don't even play. Do they? Can we talk about them tonight? They don't play tonight. Is that right? It's too early in the morning. I don't think they play, do they, tonight? I'm sure we do. I don't remember talking about Philly. No, they don't play tonight. They must play tomorrow. Oh, they do. They play the Pacers tomorrow. So, you don't activate him tonight. Different players, categories, but are we looking at Nick Richards or Scoot? I think Scoot, probably. I mean, Nick Richards, look, even if he plays 26 minutes as a starter, he's going to be maybe a double-double with a block. We've seen it. We've had a good sample size of last season, this season in Charlotte. He can pop off, and he should be fairly consistent in that role. But yeah, I think Scoot probably just has a little bit more upside. Cavs are looking at Cam Johnson. I think a lot of teams are looking at Cam Johnson. I mean, I like him in Brooklyn just because of his opportunity, but for him, it would be good to go to a contending team. Shining Knight, injuries are a fact of life. With fantasy, how do I work on mitigating their impact? Is there a threshold which you would drop trade players away? Trading when a player is injured is not ideal. Dropping is obviously not ideal either, but look, I think have a look at your return. Is there someone on the waivers that you can pick up that is comparable? Even trading sometimes, maybe you can almost move an injured player for someone that's a buy low. So sort of both sides of the trade are looking to move off someone. I guess the bigger question is it worth pushing for a top two seed? I think that depends on your league settings. I know some league settings have a bye if you get a bye if you finish top two. So if that's important to you, which it could be, I mean, it does mean that you don't have to worry about injuries for a week. None of my leagues have that, I don't think, or none of the leagues that I commission. So that might factor into pushing for a top two seed. Honestly, I don't care where I finish in the seedings. With my punt builds, I usually don't finish first or second because I can't, because the most I can win is 5-4, occasionally 6-3. So I've won leagues from 7th and 8th and 6th, and I look more at who the standings and where am I strong. As long as I'm very strong in my six categories, then I'm okay. Do I think Embiid suits up again before the All-Star game? Ooh. I'd say 50-50. I'm not sure. All right, Tim, I'll do your question very quickly before I jump into out and back in. Can I talk about my redraft league? How does that work? Yes, I can talk about that. So the reason I do it, well, there's a couple of reasons. One is because the guys... So the leagues, well, one league in particular, but leagues I do it in, we have certain teams that typically are at the bottom of the standings. And that's sometimes to do with drafting, but more to do with, I think, life for them. And they're just not able to set their lineups. And they're just not across fantasy as much as some of us. And so some of their pickups are questionable. And one guy drafted in one of my leagues drafted Embiid, and he's complaining, why he's missing so many games. Like, dude, we saw this coming a mile away. So part of it is to re-engage those guys at the back end of the season, because if you're in a league where maybe you've got 3 weeks to go and someone who's sitting third plays the last team and the second last team just by the randomness of the schedule, and they could win 8-1 and 7-2, where you're sitting second and you play fourth and fifth and you win 5-4 and lose 5-4. It's fair. It's the way it is, but it's, I just don't like it. So part of the reason is it re-engages those guys. Another reason is that, so that the way it works is, and I'll use a 16-team league here as an example, at whatever date I set, which for this 16-team league is about the All-Star break, because we will have had 15 rounds, so you've played everyone once, so it's fair. The league then splits into top eight and bottom eight. Both leagues do a complete redraft. So the roster you had is irrelevant. Top eight teams, you would do a redraft. It's an eight-team league. So and same for the bottom eight. So there's two separate drafts. The benefits, I mean, for me, in my mind, you're obviously your rosters are going to be very stacked because you're running an 8-team league now, so you're only drafting 80, 90 players, however deep you go. I think we go 12 deep, so 90, whatever that is, 96. So your rosters are very stacked. Waivers are very good, so it makes... I mean, we have limited moves, so I'm not allowing teams to just stream. I think we have two or three moves a week. So you still have to be selective, but the quality of streaming is closer to what you might have in an active lineup anyway. It means, which to me, I mean, the idea of all of this is to somewhat negate that rest issue, the load management, the tanking, because you may have drafted, maybe you drafted LaMelo Ball with the 12th pick in the normal league, and he's been very good, but there's indications that he's going to be resting, tanking. So it means you don't have to hold a guy with your first round pick that might miss 10 games down the stretch. You might redraft him then, but you might get him a little bit later, or your rosters are so strong that even if someone like a LaMelo does sit, you may have Trae Young and you may have, maybe Paul George gets healthy and he's playing, or you might have Scottie Barnes. Like your roster, you've basically got almost two first rounders in your squad. So it just makes your roster capable of, I guess, picking up the slack when those guys are out. So that's sort of my mindset there. It just then splits 2 8-team leagues. You play each other, sort of depends on settings, but I think we're going to do you play two teams each matchup. So it goes for about 3 or 4 weeks. Then you move into your finals. The winner of that league, of the top eight league, is the winner. They win the league. They get the money. The bottom eight league, the winner of that gets the number one pick the next year. So that's sort of a lottery league. And if it's an auction league, which one of mine is, the redraft that we do is a snake draft. It's not another auction draft because it just takes too long. So it's a snake draft. The winner of the bottom eight league gets, and it's also a keeper auction league. So you keep two of your players for the next season at a penalty of $5. So you add $5 to whatever you paid for them the year before. If you win that bottom league, you get to keep your keepers at cost. So you're basically saving $10. So that's a quick version anyway. All right, I'm going to jump out because I need to go and start my other show. Please go and download, do all of that stuff. I will be back in 5 minutes with Raphael Johnson here on the same channel doing the trade talk show. If you do want to jump into that show and you've got any hypothetical trades or trades that have actually happened in your league, let us know. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep pregame show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.